Welcome to the LifeLink Church Podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
Well, good morning. Good morning, LifeLink Church. How y'all doing this morning? Awesome. It's so good to see all of you here today. My name is Pastor Lacey Mercer. I'm one of our staff pastors here at LifeLink. Quite honestly, I'm still getting used to that. So there you go. Merry Christmas. We are in the middle of our Christmas season here at LifeLink. And I don't know about you, but I've already started Christmas shopping. I'm definitely in the hustle and the bustle of the Christmas season. But I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like Christmas is crazy. Do you feel that? I don't know. Sometimes I feel like the Christmas story kind of gets lost in the shuffle. And I don't know if it's because of the holiday or maybe just because sometimes the story of Christmas can be a little hard to connect with. Do you feel that? Maybe it's because the story of Christmas took place 2,000 years ago in a place that many of us have never been to. And it's the story of a girl who had a baby in a barn a long time ago. So it got me thinking, what would happen, how would the story go if Jesus was born in America in 2018? What might that look like? Do you guys want to go on a little story journey with me today? Yeah? Okay, so here's what I think. Mary and Joseph would be a typical, ordinary couple. They would have met in church, grown up in church together, fallen in love, gotten engaged. I could see Mary pinning ideas on Pinterest for her wedding, right? She'd be busy in the middle of pinning, probably looking at, the latest celebrity who got married and trying to, like, do that, but, like, on the cheap. But it still looks classy. And then Joseph would probably be working construction, working to pay off the ring and get a house or an apartment that's, like, impressive enough for his friends, right? So Mary would be in the middle of planning her wedding when the angel Gabriel would visit her, probably via FaceTime, maybe. He'd FaceTime her and be like, hey, you're going to get pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And of course, it would be shocking to her because she and Joseph had never slept together, which is shocking maybe a little bit for this culture that we live in now. But they would have never slept together. And it's a nice goal, but it's not always the case in the culture that we live in. She's in the church that she grew up in. Everybody knows her. And yet, she finds out she's going to get pregnant by the Holy Spirit. What would people think? People had known her entire life. She'd grown up in this church. No one, face it, would believe the story of God enabling her to become pregnant by the Holy Spirit. I'm sure they'd be like, yeah, sure, okay, immaculate conception, right? Those ministry kids, I tell you, you got to watch them. You get to really watch those ministry kids. And then Joseph, working really hard, bought Mary the nicest ring that he could, trying to pay off the ring, trying to get a great apartment or a house. But you know what? Who cares about impressing his friends at this rate? When people find out that Mary's pregnant by the Holy Spirit, they'll either think, okay, Joseph, she's pulling the wool over your eyes, or she's gone crazy. So no need to impress anybody at that point until he gets a DM on Instagram from @therealbigmanupstairs_316 who says, hey, Joseph, I have a plan. Mary's not crazy. It's the truth. Just go with it. So here they are, a young couple, nothing special, except that God chose them to carry the gift and parent the gift that would save the world. The story goes on. No need to travel anywhere for a census because that's done online, right? So there's no risk of Mary going into labor in the middle of an airport or in the back of an Uber. She gets to go have a baby in the hospital, which personally sounds a lot better and more sanitary than giving birth in a barn. I vote for a hospital. Anyways, so Jesus would be born in the comforts of a hospital. Instead of bringing gifts, people would probably send things through Amazon Prime. Mary would probably be looking to her three wise men, which would probably be Dr. Oz, Joanna Gaines, and, oh, I don't know, Dave Ramsey, maybe to figure out how to lose the baby weight, decorate the nursery, and save for Jesus' college fund. That would be her three wise men. The reality is, if Jesus were born today, I don't know if it really would have been a big deal. The story of a girl getting pregnant by the Holy Spirit might have caught some attention for like a minute. Maybe would have gotten some buzz on social media. Maybe one of the talk shows would have picked it up. I could totally see it on a talk show of some guy making fun of Mary for getting pregnant by the Holy Spirit. But honestly, the next time a celebrity couple gets engaged or divorced, or next time somebody makes a cat video on YouTube, it probably would just be that story that happened a few weeks ago, and it's not a big deal. The difference is, 2,000 years ago, people were waiting for a Savior. People were searching for a Savior. They had heard story after story for years about how God had a plan to send a Savior that would change things for the people of Israel, that would bring change from the bondage that they were in and the oppression that they were under, how someone was going to set them free. When Jesus was born, people were anxiously waiting with anticipation for an answer. He wasn't exactly the answer they expected, but he was the answer that they were waiting for. If we're talking real here for a second, we don't really need to search for a Savior in the world we live in today. Our solution often seems to be right at the tip of our fingers. We just need more money. We just need a better job to get married, to have kids, to get a loan, or whatever it is. We live in the land of the free, the home of the brave, the land of equal opportunity to live a life pursuing happiness. But the same need is on the inside of each of us. The same need that was there 2,000 years ago, people searching for more, for hope, for freedom. It's on the inside of each and every one of us today. People are still searching. Deep inside all of us is the desire for more, for purpose, for hope, for meaning. When God inserted Jesus into the picture 2,000 years ago, he knew exactly what he was doing. Jesus was the answer for the people of earth then, and he's still the answer for us today. The answer being that Jesus inserted himself into time and did something. He left everything that was comfy cozy, came down in the form of a baby to do something. And he used ordinary people like you and me. So, to take the story from this point on, would you help me welcome Pastor Dave?
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Lacey. I love that. I love that. The ability to be able to capture in a story of today's modern expression what it might have looked like. And there perhaps were some phrases and some statements in that particular rendition that might seem a little like, what? I'm not sure about that. But I'd like to ask, if you will, just to create some space here in your heart for the Holy Spirit to talk to you about where you are in his story. 2,000 years ago, we see God had chosen that is the moment he would insert Jesus Christ into the timeline of our world. 2,000 years later, we're still in the flow of something God is doing. And so what I want to do today is talk a little bit about who were the everyday ordinary people in Mary and Joseph, and what was the world that they lived in. Quick look at the people involved in the nativity that we see in Christmas cards and whatnot. And I want to ask, if you will, to let the Holy Spirit bring some connection and context to this morning, because I believe God wants to touch our hearts with an insight that will change the value with which we live and the choices that we make in life. Mary. Most likely she was born in Nazareth, a tiny Galilean town of about 1,600 people, which that little town was of little consequence for most of the Jews. And just for context, that's about 1,000 people smaller than Superior, Arizona. You know where Superior is, east of here? Probably not. It's a mining town east of here. It has about 2,500 people that call that place home. And you haven't heard of it, probably. And just like most people probably thought about Nazareth. But anyway, that's where Mary came from. She belonged to the peasant class. That class of citizens eked out its living through agricultural and small commercial ventures like carpentry and other creative things, which was the profession of her fiancé and husband, Joseph. And as it comes to Mary, it's doubtful that she even knew how to read or write, since literacy was extremely rare among the women of that time. She was, in every way, in every form, in every fashion, ordinary. Nothing extraordinary, just ordinary. She was just an ordinary girl. Let's look at the biblical account of that historical event when God's extra met Mary's ordinary. Let's take a look at this. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26, starts the story. It says this in the New Living Translation: in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Now, this is where I think this gets a little bit interesting and probably a little more real. The next verse says, "Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean." You know what that means? She wasn't looking for an angel. She was just going about her everyday, ordinary life, working just through the drudgery of what common life was. But in the middle of her common, ordinary life, God sent an angel with a message. That message was that she would, verse 31, conceive and give birth to a son and name him Jesus. Now think about it. How would you feel if out of the blue you got a message like that from an angelic messenger or an angel? Which is why the verse before that actually goes along these lines. Don't be afraid, Mary, for you've actually found favor with God. So this morning, as we're working our way through this, my hope is that we will allow ourselves permission to actually see Mary for perhaps not the imagery that we see on Christmas cards or you perhaps see in other Christmas expressions, but just a regular 12, 13, 14-year-old girl who was just living her everyday, ordinary life. The angel goes on and says, "He will be very great and be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." And then Mary asked the angel, "How can this happen? I'm a virgin." Verse 35, the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And so the baby born to you will be holy. He'll be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age, and people used to say that she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month, for the word of God will never," what's the word? "It will never fail." So Mary, in this interchange, has gone from one kind of extreme emotion, which is confused and disturbed, and I'm not sure what to think about all this. But as the message became clear to her, finally she said this. Mary responded in verse 38, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. Mary had no idea how extraordinary God's plan for her life actually was. Let me point out as we're working our way through this morning that when Mary actually heard the message, she didn't instantly have an aha, like, oh, wow, this is going to be fantastic. She did what any of us would do when it dawns on us, hey, God has a plan for our life, and it's not what we thought. Imagine, God has a plan for your life, and it's not what you thought. God has a plan for your life, and it's not what you thought. And just like Mary, we find ourselves when we're confronted with that reality, well, I'm not sure I like this idea. I have a plan for my life. Thank you very much. I'm going to go to college, and I'm going to get a good job, and I'm going to be rich, and I'm going to own nice real estate, and I'm going to be very respected. I'm going to be very popular on Pinterest and YouTube and Facebook, and I'm going to have lots of followings. I'm going to be very involved in lots of wonderful things, and my life is going to be filled with fun. We all have an idea, and God does too. And his idea is different than ours. And one of those ideas has potential. God's idea is extraordinary. The key to Mary stepping into God's extraordinary purpose for her life was simply that she said, yes. She could have listened to that angel make that presentation and say, you know, thanks, Gabe. Appreciate the idea. She go talk to a big man upstairs, _316, and let him know that I'm not interested, but I'm honored that he would think of me that way. But I'll just do my own thing. She could have said something along those lines. We would have never known. You know why? Because if she'd have said no, her life would have stayed in obscurity, and she would have never fulfilled God's divine plan and purpose for her life. But since she said yes, everything is different. See, when she said yes, God put his extra on her ordinary. And she lived the rest of her life in an extraordinary significance. You know what made the difference for Mary? It wasn't her college degree. It wasn't her fame and fortune. You know what made the difference for Mary? Yes. That's all it was. When God made his plan known, I have a purpose for your life, she said, yes. The same could be said about Joseph, who we know even less about. Let's look at real quick at Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. Listen to this. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. So here we have an honorable, upright, but ordinary guy who knew what was right and he knew what was wrong. And apparently the context of the scripture helps us understand that he had chosen to live in an honorable way, and he recognized what the laws were. And so when it became known to him that the girl he was engaged to was actually pregnant, he knew it wasn't from him. There's a wild, crazy story that there's some angel involved or something along those lines and some big idea. And he did what you and I would probably do. Like, what are the odds of that? I don't think that's even medically possible. I'm pretty sure you're trying to snow me on this one. You know what? I've got a plan for my life, and it doesn't include drama. So thank you very much. Love ya. God bless ya. Good riddance. And he didn't exactly say that, but he said he planned to just quietly divorce her. In other words, he planned to quietly separate himself from that and say, no, thank you, I have a plan. See, I don't want you to think you're alone in the idea that you have an idea of what your life should be like. We're people. We're created that way. We have ideas. We have thoughts. We have dreams. We have ambition. We have things that we feel like ought to make the difference and things that we really do want to do. Yet we find ourselves from time to time being confronted by a divine message from God himself saying, I have a plan for you. And then the Lord will show us one step of his plan. And you and I will look at it and go, oh, you know, that's inconvenient. That's going to be a little, I've got a league that interferes with. So I'm pretty sure I'm not interested in that. No, I would miss too much television, and I've got a Netflix subscription for a reason, God. Thank you very much. So I'm going to stick with my Netflix. You keep your idea. We probably wouldn't say it that way, but that's how we choose. Isn't that true? But God is insistent. He just keeps coming back. Hosema, God has a plan for your life. I can call you out because we're friends. If I ever call you out, it's safe because we're friends. If I never call you, worry. I'm just kidding. I just don't want Hosema to be put on the spot. But I want you to know I could just go down the row and just say to every one of you, Sonia, God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your life. I could just go down the row and just say, hey, God has a plan for your life. But I don't want to take that much time, but I want you to know, just fill in the blank with your name, God has a plan for your life. And it's not what you think. In fact, the only reason yes is required is because it's specifically not what you were already going to do. Doesn't that make sense? But after he had considered this, verse 20, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be, what's the word? Do not be afraid. In other words, just because this doesn't make sense to you, or just because you know what this decision is going to set you up for in your own mind, this idea is going to set you up for all this drama or confusion or sacrifice, or just because you imagine all these things, I don't want you to be afraid of this, because God is actually doing something here. I don't want you to be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. I just want to let that settle on us just for a moment, because in 15 minutes, we're going to be dismissed. We're going to go different directions, and everybody's going to be hurried and scurried to try to get out of the parking lot and hurry and get your biscuits and gravy or wherever you're going to. I'm not sure where you're going after Sunday service. But before we just shift back into drive and head on out of here, I want to let this settle on it for settle on us for a minute. God actually has a plan. And deep in your soul, you know you were created for more than one more Christmas season, one more attempt at a perfect turkey, one more attempt at just the gift that will finally make the difference this year. And there's nothing wrong with turkey. Thank God for turkeys and honey-baked ham. I love a good honey-baked ham. I'm the one that always goes to get the honey-baked ham. I'm the one that carves it off the bone. You know why I do that? Because I like to snack on that honey-baked ham. But there's a message I got to get back to. Excuse me, I had a moment of ADD. My mind just went right out the window. God wants us to know that one more fevered attempt at the perfect Christmas and the perfect dinner, and hopefully the drama will be less in the family this year. And God wants you to know, hey, the message of Christmas has nothing to do with Hallmark or the tinsel or a tree or an ornament or a gift or a turkey or a ham or whatever else that you're really going to spend all that energy to get just right. God's saying, hey, that's not the point. See, if God were going to tell us the modern story of Christmas, he'd be saying something very different. The angel went on and said, listen, she's going to give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. I want you to be involved in this. I don't want you to be just peripherally on the edge. I want you to actually be involved. This is going to change your life. My purpose is going to change the orbit of your life. That's how God's purpose affects all of us. Let me just pause and say this. If the yes you give Jesus doesn't change substantially some portion of your life, that wasn't really yes to Jesus. When we say yes to him and his purpose, it really changes the flow and the flavor and the cadence of our life. See, we don't add him on like a fire insurance policy. We live our life relationally with him. It changes the direction of our life. That's what we see in the ordinary people of Mary and Joseph. The reason God could put his extra on their ordinary is because they actually said Yes. They said, yes. And the angel went on and said all of those things. And then verse 24, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary and all the drama and all the scandal and everything else, he took it home with him. You know what that says? His life changed forever. It wasn't just Joe's carpenter shop. It's, oh, that Joe. Joseph had a reputation now. Now he's got a reputation that we admire and understand and cherish. But in the moments of walking out the initial yes, for most of us, most of the time, it's confusing. It's hard to understand. It's sacrificial. Just like Mary, Joseph was initially reluctant, afraid to accept God's extraordinary purpose for him. Nothing about the message made sense to either Mary or Joseph, but the message from God fit his divine purpose for their lives perfectly. And their yes to his message is what opened the door to his extraordinary purpose, which is exactly how it works in our lives today. And as much as I could stop the story there and we could all ponder the issue of, wow, this the gravity of saying yes to Jesus, what I really want to do is I want to pivot just a little bit and say the point of the Christmas story wasn't the manger scene. The manger scene, the birth of Christ, and all those things are an important part of history. But his story is what he was really after. See, history reflects what God did, but history also reflects his story. God was doing something extraordinary in there, yes. It wasn't just to start a new church religion, a new worship style, or a new fad, or something along those lines. God was literally intersecting time and injecting himself into the human brokenness of our world. In other words, Jesus took their yes and said, I'm going to come and do something with your yes, not just make a Hallmark card out of it. I'm going to do something with your yes that makes a difference. Everyone say difference. And for those of you who are wondering, why are these people leaving? They're not mad. These are part of the dream team who are getting ready to serve in the next service. Hey, can we just give our dream team an amazing expression of gratitude? You guys are so awesome. Pastor Lacey pointed out the fact that God chose the perfect point to insert history into history. You know, I was thinking about this. Her point was well made. She said, I'm not sure if his birth today would make the splash it did then. And there's a part of us that goes, oh, wait a second, I think it would. But if you just look at the actual cultural flow of how the world worked back then, there were probably, they estimate, 300 million people on the planet then, not 7.3 billion. Things were a lot smaller. Things were a lot more focused. In fact, there was, as she pointed out, a whole nation of people looking for him. Our nation, there's not a nation in the earth now that's looking for God the way that nation was then. There was a whole nation looking for him. The news cycle was much longer. People talked about an event in history for a long time. Now, 36 hours later, you've forgotten what the headline was 15 minutes ago, probably, because some new juicy gossip, some new whatever it was, has hit the news feed, and the incessant, ceaseless tsunami of the social media feed just keeps coming and coming and coming, and nothing stays in focus for very long anymore because there's something new, there's something new, there's something new, there's something new. And perhaps the scandalous idea of something like what we're talking about today would probably be, oh wow, isn't that interesting, like what's next? See, God knew exactly what he was doing when he inserted Christ into the story of humanity, because the cadence of the world was going just the right speed for Jesus to actually make an entrance, grow up with the people, live his divine existence and his purpose for what he had come to the earth for, and start something that actually would grow and scale to now the largest identifiable group in the history of the earth. Do you realize that as of now, at least it's still true, that almost a third of the world's population identifies with themselves as being Christians, which is almost 3 billion people 2.3 billion, I think, or something along those lines. In other words, instead of one person doing what Jesus did back then, we, the body of Christ, are supposed to actually be living out his story. See, his story started in his birth, but the birth was never really the big news. You know what the big news was? His intervention. His intervention. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, verse 27, or 17 through 21. It says, "And the scroll of the prophet prophet Isaiah was handed to Jesus one day when he was at church, and he unrolled it and found the place where it was written. And he said, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor.'" In other words, he says, "Hey, God has sent me here with a purpose and a plan, and I'm on mission, and here's what I'm here to do. I'm here to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners." Hey, I want you to know, God actually sent Jesus Christ so that we don't have to live in bondage. We can live in freedom. Everyone say freedom. Freedom. Freedom is God's plan for you. And Jesus is the one who paid for it. That's what he came to do. And he said, "I'm here to give recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll and he gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down and he said, "Here's what I want you to know," verse 21, "today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." In other words, he said, hey, there was a moment earlier in Old Testament history when it was prophesied. He said, "Here I am the answer to that now." And guess who we are as the redeemed, those who are born again, those who are Christians, followers of Christ, little Christ following in his image in that context. You know what we're supposed to be? His body doing the exact same thing he was doing when he was here, not paying for humanity's sins, but intervening in their brokenness, being the ministers of reconciliation, being the healing. That's what the message of Christmas, the modern story of Christmas, is not, hey, what would happen on Instagram, but it's, are we actually living out who we are called to be as those who follow Christ? Those who follow Christ. See, that was history when Jesus was born. But his story was he came to make a difference. And he modeled how you make a difference through Mary and Joseph, who said yes to something that didn't make sense to them, but they said yes anyway. He followed on with that by living his own life and said yes to the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, "If there's any other way, Lord, I don't want to have to do this. This is an extraordinary sacrifice, but your will be done." See, the power of the modern Christmas story is lived out one by one. Your life, my life, through ordinary people just like you and me who, like the historical Mary and Joseph, let Jesus use our lives for his continued story of healing the brokenness of a very wounded and broken world. The modern Christmas isn't just redecorated Christmas. The modern Christmas is taking a look at what's the purpose of it and am I living what that is? And I want you to know this morning, I'm not against Christmas trees, and I'm not against tinsel, and I'm not against turkeys, and I'm not against honey-baked hams, for God's sake. I'm not against any of those things, but I do want to make this personal this morning. Are you actually living his story? Or are we just kind of flowing along with the Christian tide? Now, the good news is you're worshiping this morning here in the assembly. But I want you to know that the power of the Church of Jesus Christ is not Sunday morning. The power of who we are as the body of Christ is the ministry we effect Monday through Saturday. And I submit to you this morning that the Holy Spirit of God is talking to the heart, the fabric of this church, to say, hey, as we move forward together and journey as a church family, we need to be more intentional with ministry as who we are in the world, not just who we are on Sundays. Practically speaking, at LifeLink Church, we actually are very intentional with how we equip people to do this. We actually say that if you look at who we are as a church family, there are things we do together as a church family here when we gather. That's like taking care of the house and taking care of home and taking care of the family dinner and all those things. That's called your ministry in the church. Hey, everybody look at me just for a second. If LifeLink is your home, you're never going to feel totally settled in until you find your place in the ministry of your church. There may be a season when you're starting and you're new in the experience of a church family where you worship for a few weeks and you kind of figure out, this is where God wants me to be at and all this. But I do want you to know that if LifeLink is where Jesus is planting you, that at some point, I don't know when, but at some point I want you to know, there'll be a little click where you go, hey, wait, I'm not in my place. I'm worshiping on Sundays, but I'm not in my place like I need to be, my ministry in the church. And I want you to know this morning that that ministry is going to take sacrifice. It will. It's supposed to change the convenience of our lives. That's what being in the family does. And that's okay. Hey, Mary's yes changed her life forever. Joseph's yes changed the orbit of his everyday life forever. But in addition to our ministry in the church, hey, listen, everybody, God wants us to know, hey, in addition to your ministry in the church, we have a mission in the world. And I want you to know as a pastor here at LifeLink Church, I will continue to bring this back to us, because 100 years from now, every one of us will be in eternity. And it won't matter if we were popular or not. It won't matter if people liked us or not. It won't matter what our lifestyle was or not. You know what will matter? Did we yes our way through God's plan? Did we invest our lives into the ministry of his church and his mission in the world? Did we continue living his story? So the modern Christmas, it's how would God use your yes in his story? And are you living that? And if you're not, I want to challenge you today. Don't just blaze through Christmas and hoping this will be the one to make a difference. Why don't you decide? I'm going to dig in. If you're visiting from another church, please, if you're just visiting, it's an honor to have you. And I want you to know that with all my heart. But the truth is, if you're just popping in for a quick second and you belong in another church, dig in. Be a part. If God's reassigning you, I understand that too. Sometimes that happens. But don't just float around. Dig in. Why? Because his family is his family. There's a place for you in his family, whether it's LifeLink or another church. But we're going to work on our mission in the world. Why? Because his story is still being written through our yes. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you for being so good to us. Today, God, as we close this journey in the study of your scripture, we ask that you would give us insight into what we need to do individually in our yes to you. Some of us today, God, are hurtling through the Christmas season, hoping with a desperation that this will be the one that makes us happy. This will be the one that fills us up. This will be the one that does all of those things. And here this morning, you actually told us the modern Christmas story, which is how you want to actually intervene in the brokenness of our world around us through our yes being involved in who you've created us to be in our ministry, in our church, in our mission, in our world. God, thank you for giving us the truth of your word this morning and reminding us that we're never going to just float along into significance by coasting on the tides of our culture. But God, it's when we intentionally say yes to you and hit the brakes on all that's normal and say, God, who have you created me to be? Where do I fit in your church? And how do I serve in your world? And God, as we do that, I'm asking that you would give us courage to open our eyes and really make those hard decisions today. I thank you, Lord, today that you are causing people to understand in a deeper, more meaningful way what you really want to do through the yes in our lives. Courage, I pray in Jesus' name. Now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, for those of you that need to say yes to Jesus because you know you're not living really for him, but you recognize today that you need to say yes to his lordship, not yes just to the convenience of being saved from hell, but actually his lordship, which means his leadership in your life. God brought you here to give you hope today to say he's close and he wants to lead you forward into a significant, fulfilling life. And today I'm asking that you would, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, make the decision that you will turn from what you think is going to lead you to success, your own fulfillment, and give your life to Jesus. In just a moment, I'm going to lead a life change prayer. It's taken from values and scriptures from the Bible itself. But in a moment, as I lead you through that, I'm going to ask that you make this decision. Is today your day to say yes to Jesus? And if so, say that yes in your heart, and then open your mouth and pray with me and everyone else in this church family today out loud. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me enough to give me the truth of your word. Jesus, thank you for intervening into the brokenness of humanity and into my own sin by dying on the cross to pay for my sin in full. Today, I'm asking you to wash me, cleanse me, forgive me, and make me brand new. I'm giving my whole life completely to you. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Guide me through life. I will respond because you are my only God from this day forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.